Yeah, I got this this morning, and I thought it just fit right in right now because the Holy Spirit said, go ahead. And because we're talking on wording up, and it says right here that I got, says, for the word that God speaks is alive, full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. Amen. Energizing. And it is effective. Because it's alive. It is alive. Okay, you can turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 here. On a spiritual, nutritional level, how'd you do this past week? Did you word up every day? Three meals and an evening snack? The Word of God provides us with the necessary nutrition to stay healthy. Verse 20, Psalms 4. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them. What are they? And health. What are they? To all their flesh. And when it says flesh, that's talking about your whole body. When I had gotten a physical years back, it wasn't one with a good report. And to correct the items on the report without medications, I asked the doctor if there was another way. And he said, it could be done through proper nutrition, diet, and exercise. He said, they have classes. I said, sign me up. Well, he did. And I took my partner with me, the interpreter, so she could write it all down, take all the notes. Talking about Teresa. Well, after attending classes on nutrition, it turned out to be not a diet, but a totally different lifestyle of the proper nutrition and having to eat breakfast, lunch, dinner, and have a snack at night before you go to bed. See, I never ate breakfast. I passed that up. Teresa's favorite meal, breakfast. But I had passed it up. Lunch? Yeah. I didn't care. It come time for dinner? Man, I pigged out. Yeah. I really ate at dinner time. And snacking was no problem. I snacked all night long after that. You know? Which proved to not be good for my physical body. But after following everything that they taught me and eating those three meals and having that snack, all of the items on the report were brought to the proper levels. The doctor actually was impressed. And every time I go there, and he calls me, you're my poster child. Nobody has kept it up and kept doing what you've done all this time. He says a lot of people, once they find out it is a lifestyle change, they start to fall back to it. Well, for me, there was no falling back. But so I can say that, you know, we prayed and God opened so many things up to us, to Teresa and I. And like I say, and I owe a lot to Teresa because she's the one who made it happen. She counted calories. She counted carbs. No more sweets. That was just for me, though. They still like their sweets, you know. That was just for me. Proper proportioning. Weighing out my food on a scale. And more importantly, eating breakfast, lunch, supper, and having that snack. Whether I wanted it or not, she made sure that I followed that routine. And now it's a lifestyle. I don't have a problem at all with that. Three meals a day and a snack at night before bed provides a healthy, balanced diet which keeps your body in good nutritional health. Proper intake of the Word works the same way as well for our physical and spiritual health. It provides for the outer man and the inner man, the real you, your spirit. The Word of God is our daily bread, our spiritual food. In Deuteronomy 8, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The Word tells us that. And we know that Jesus is the bread of life. And folks, He is proven. He is proven. In Psalm 18, Psalm 18, verse 30. We'll see here where David writes, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all those who trust in Him." The word of the Lord is proven. It's tested. It's true. Now, Proverbs 30, and look to verse 5. And this is Solomon. He related to David. Okay? I'm just letting you know that. Well, he said, "Every word of God is pure." Every word of God is pure. And then his daddy, though, wrote something in Psalm 12, verse 6. Psalm 12, verse 6. And all I'll say is, like father, like son, wonder where Solomon heard this. Psalm 12, verse 6. "The words of the Lord are pure words, unpolluted, untainted, uncontaminated, wholesome, righteous, like silver, tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." Purified seven times. That's right, brother. The number seven is God's divine number. It signifies perfection and completeness in God's eyes. And Job called God's words a treasure. He treasured them more than his daily bread. See, the value of his word will not be realized to you until you use it. As valuable as it is, if you use it, it can't pay for anything for you. When you speak God's word in faith, it will do wonders and thunders for you, because His word accomplishes and prospers in a thing for which He sent it. His word has been around for a long time, and it's not going anywhere. In Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah 40, verse 8, "The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God shall stand forever." Forever is forever. All the way through eternity. And the word is put to work by us when we speak it in faith. And as I said, you speak it in faith, it will do wonders and thunders for us. In Mark chapter 11, verse 23, Mark chapter 11, and we're going to look to verse 23, as I said. And that's in the red. These are Jesus' words. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt it in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Whatever your mountain is, speak to it. Speak the word to your mountain. Just say, it is written. Our primary and fundamental weapon is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And Jesus is the living Word, who was manifested in the flesh. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, or 1 through 3, I'm sorry, 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Jesus is the Word. In Matthew chapter 4, that tells of the temptation of Jesus and how he backed the devil down on the Mount of Temptation. You know, that kind of got me. I says, Mount of Temptation, where is it? Well, it's actually, when you research it, they believe it's Mount Quarantina. And it's northwest over the town of Jericho in the east bank. So it's a peak on the roadway from Jerusalem to Jericho. So there is a place. That's pretty cool. You know, I'm sorry, those kind of things interest me. And I wanted to share that. And how did he back him down? Jesus used three powerful words. It is written. God's written word is a copy of His spoken word that created the universe and everything in it, including angels, fallen angels, and man. When you stop and think about it, wow, okay. God's word is final authority in every realm. God provided us His written word for us to use. And you use it when you speak it. The mighty word of God is ours to use in defense of our rights as a born-again child of Almighty God. God expects us. I said He expects us to use His delegated authority and spiritual weapons to establish, ready for this? His kingdom on the earth. Seek ye first the kingdom, and all these other things will be added unto you. Let's work on building His kingdom, and everything else you need is going to be supplied. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, Acts chapter 10, verse 38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And Jesus gave us authority and power, and He's with us. He has authorized us to speak to the mountains, calm storms, uproot mulberry trees in our way, heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons, and so much, much more. John chapter 14, verse 12, ERV, I can assure you, he says, I can assure you, that whoever believes in me will do the same thing I have done. Do you believe in him? What did this tell you could do? Same things. And they will do even greater things than I have done, he goes on to say. You're going to do greater things than Jesus himself did. Because he's up there with the Father. And the two of them are very powerful together. And especially when they sent the power to earth to be within us, called the Holy Spirit, who lives and dwells within each and every one of us. God the Son, right? And God the Holy Spirit, because he was God the Father. And they just went right together. One in the same, folks. One in the same. Well, believing takes faith, trust, and leaning on him and his word with your whole heart. Your whole heart. In Luke 10:19, Jesus said, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." And nothing shall by any means hurt you, because you have been given authority to trample upon the serpents and the scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Yes, you have. We have his authority, and with his authority comes his power. It is power that overcomes, and we are overcomers. We are conquerors. In fact, we're what? More than conquerors, is what his word says. When we work the word, when we speak it in faith, it will perform those wonders and thunders and amazing things for us. Now, Luke 17. Hey, Dean, Jack, would you mind passing those out? Everybody else can turn to Luke 17. Luke 17. I've done this once before, and it wasn't, but then the Holy Spirit, I says, this is like a repeat. He says, they need it repeated. I went, okay, Lord. He says, and so do you need reminded. I said, oh, okay, I understand, you know. Now, you're there in Luke 17. We're going to look to verses 5 and 6. The apostle said to the Lord, show us how to increase our faith. Show us how to increase our faith. Verse 6. The Lord answered, if you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed. Mustard seed. Just about got them all passed on, guys. But yes. Yeah. You know. I had to be careful who I picked to do this, because I needed people with small fingers. Because you get them big old fingers like mine, I'm sitting here, wow. I got to peel back the skin so I can see that thing. I mean, but you just focus on it. You look at that. That is pretty small, is it not? That seed is awful small looking. Everybody got theirs? Hey, and you know what? Then he said he could see his. Praise the Lord. Amen. But there it is. That's how much faith he's saying right here. The Lord said, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, May you be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. A mulberry tree. Mulberry trees grow to about 50 feet in height and 50 feet in diameter. Right, Kyle? Wake up, Kyle. There we go. Okay. You weren't on your phone texting, were you? Okay. That's Jesus. Look at that. I don't know how good you can see that. Yeah, Jack, shut those center lights off. Maybe that would help a little bit better. But I want you to look at the size of that tree. The size of that tree. Now, you look at that mustard seed that you got in your finger. Wow. Just that little bit of faith can take and grab that tree and literally pull it out of the ground and cast it into the sea. That little bit of faith. That's what Jesus is saying. That's what it takes. You have that much. Well, you know what? All of us have been given a measure of faith. And it's a lot more than this little mustard seed. Pull it out and use it. You can use it. Just that much. Mulberry trees have an invasive root system. And the only way to get rid of it and to keep it from coming back is to totally uproot it. Those roots spread out and they go every which way. So you take your faith. How much faith do I need? That's it. And that tree, that mulberry tree in your pathway, is going to be uprooted and thrown into the sea. That same amount of faith can throw a mountain into the sea. Wonder why the water levels are coming up? Because we're all learning in faith that we can cast those trees and those mountains into the water and it's got to be displaced. So the water level is going to raise up. What about this global warming? Come on. No. No, because the born-again believers are starting to act on their faith. That's what's happening. Yes. The apostles wanted more faith. That's not a bad request, though. But Jesus let them know that they didn't need more faith. He told them to sow, to plant, or to use the faith they already had. Use the faith we already have. We have it. We just need to use it. Faith is the servant of the believer. Faith is the servant of the believer. It is the duty of the believer's faith to do what we command it to do. Our faith has been given to us by God to use in His name to meet our every need and to stand against the fiery arrows and the storms that we face. Thank you, sir. Mark chapter 4. And verse 26 through 28. Where am I? Got that right? Mark 4? Where am I at? No. Oh, yeah, that's right. Mark 4. Wrong M. They're running. Matthew 4 didn't have 26 verses in it. Okay. Mark 4, chapter 26 through 28. The parable of the growing seed. Your faith. New Living Translation. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows. But he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First, a leaf blade pushes through. Then the heads of the wheat are formed. And finally, the grain ripens. Jesus says the whole kingdom of God works like a seed. We must plant it and expect it. Must expect it. Did I say that right? Must expect it. Oh, yeah, I did say that right. Must expect it to produce. Do you expect it to produce for you when you sow the seed? When we sow it, or say, put it on a line, so to speak, he will develop it. That's what he does when we speak his word in faith. When the devil tells you that your situation is impossible, you answer him in faith by saying, it is written, with God, all things are possible to him who believes. And devil, I'm one who simply, unequivocally believes. Period. And then you get your praise on. You get your praise on. You'll raise your hallelujah. When we act in faith by speaking the word to that situation, the situation changes. When you speak your word over individuals, a transformation takes place. Because it's like a seed. You speak it, it takes a little bit of time for the seed to grow, doesn't it? Okay? But there will be a transformation. People do get transformed by the word. And that's how we even do, because our minds get renewed, right? By when we take in the word. So let me tell you this morning, I tell you, word up. Word up and focus. Look up. Look to Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 18. Hey, Dean, just plain amplified. We didn't go classic. You're just plain amplified. Okay? So we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are visible are temporal. Temporal. Just brief and fleeting. But the things which are invisible are everlasting and imperishable. When we hold fast to our confession of faith in God's word and say, it's mine. I have it. I have it now. Faith begins to grow and Satan's dominion begins to diminish. Troubles and circumstances begin to shrink in our eyes. What's happening? Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Substance and faith-filled hope, that's what's happening. Faith-filled words dominate the laws of sin and death. So we plant our faith and we speak to the mulberry tree from a heart full of faith in God's word, giving it the command to be plucked up by the roots, and we fully expect our faith to do the work. Everybody, word up. Word up. Breakfast, lunch, supper, and a snack. Word up. You can strengthen and build your faith by wording up. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you read your Bible, Read it out loud so you can hear it. You can hear it then. And you know something else? Come to church where you can hear it preached. Right? You can turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Okay. And it's ironic that somebody sent this. A guy by the name of Mark Barkley says, "Stay in church and attend every service, for there is great strength there." Wow. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hebrews 10, verse 25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." We're not supposed to do it. We're supposed to be assembling together. "As is the manner of some, by exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching." What day? Yeah. And if you haven't seen lately, it's moving quicker. Now, Dean, you shared that. Can I share with what Rich shared with you? He said, "It's going so fast, it's like a roll of toilet paper. When it gets near the end, it seems like it really disappears." Okay. It's true, and it's coming. Pastor Barkley talked about it. Things are aligning, according to the Bible, over there right now, with what Turkey just did. You're expecting? Then praise God for the answer and knowing that your servant, faith, is out there, uprooting that big old tree and moving that mountain. No matter how big it may seem, we tend to make mountains out of molehills, do we not? But even as big as those mountains are, they're not big to God. And He gave us enough faith. Yeah. And all we got to use is a portion of it called a mustard seed. We have all the faith we need. Let's use it and let's believe it. Because Jesus tells us in Mark 11:22, have the God kind of faith. Imitate your daddy. Imitate your daddy. He'll be impressed. He loves it when you imitate him. When we speak God's word, we are sowing seed or planting seed. His word is seed. In the natural realm, a father plants a seed expecting it to grow and produce a harvest. He doesn't pull up the seed every day and check whether it's doing its thing or not. And the same is true in the spiritual realm. The believer plants the seed of the word into the soil of his heart and then meditates on it day and night until faith begins to grow. He speaks into the situation from the faith in his heart that has been built up by wording up on the Word of God, expecting his faith to produce the desired result. Are you expecting it to produce the desired result? Then don't dig it up. You spoke it in faith. Let it grow. And it will grow. The more it grows, the more you'll see what it looks like in the faith realm. Just as the farmer doesn't dig up the seed every day, that's why I said, neither should we, wondering whether it's growing or not. It is growing. The believer allows the word to grow in his heart, continually watering it with thanksgiving and praise. Timmy did a really nice job on Wednesday ministering from his heart about praise. CDs are available. It's available online. But if you don't get it, you don't listen to it, and you can't hear it, where's faith? Faith ain't going to come. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we need to keep the vision of God's promises before our eyes and our ears by listening. In Joshua 1, verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." When you are worded up, you will be able to make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. So word up, everybody, word up and see what you can accomplish. Word level up, you can accomplish a lot of things. Word level low, watch out, you might get run over. And that's just what the devil wants, see. He wants your word level low. And as it said up on that big thing up there, okay, 1 week of not being in the word leaves 1 week. That's why we must have a proper proportioning and eating it squarely. 3 meals a day and a snack on God's word? Ain't no calories or carbs in it either. And when it comes to tree and mountain removal, expect your servant faith is out there doing what you commanded it to do. Mark 4, 27 to 28 again. "Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows. But he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First, a leaf blade pushes through. Then the heads of the wheat are formed. And finally, the grain ripens." Do you need to understand it? The word says, lean not on your own understanding. Simply believe and have the God kind of faith. God spoke faith, and it obeyed him. You speak your faith, and it will obey you. And when the tree and the mountain hear that, they're going to obey your faith. They will obey your faith. When we operate in the supernatural realm of God, oh, that sounds like that's our cue. Ready? We, supernatural church, composed of supernatural people doing supernatural things. When we operate in the supernatural realm of God, in the world of the Spirit, the believer stands in a position of authority. Jesus fully intends for us to use the faith he has given to us to rule and to reign in the earth, to remove and to receive from him, to have everything removed that may be coming in front of us, because we'll be able to receive what we need from heaven to get the job done. And what's the job that we need to do? Build his kingdom. Build his kingdom. Mark 16, verses 15 through 18. "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Not understanding these principles here in these scriptures has reduced many, many believers to begging God for what He has already promised. When sickness and disease attack, for example, many believers begin to beg God for healing when He has already said in Isaiah 53, 5, "And by His stripes we are healed." The prophecy about Jesus, what He would do, bring us healing by His stripes. And in 1 Peter 2:24, "Who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Past tense. New Testament's here, folks. Done deal is right. By His stripes, you and I were healed. And if we were healed, we are healed. We are healed. You just got to keep saying that. I am healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. You speak to your body, you keep speaking it, because it'll build you up. It'll continually build you up. Amen. It is our responsibility as a believer to receive by faith what God has already provided, spirit, soul, body, financially, and socially. So I tell you, word up. Enjoy the breakfast of a champion, an overcomer's lunch, a victor's dinner, and a nightly snack on the peace of God, knowing who you are in Him, and you will have restful sleep.
That was easy.
Praise God. Thank you.